for beginners in the hood, and my mentality is keeping it real, packing steel, getting high. Welcome, bienvenue, à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a.
Rocker,
a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com. Okay, that flow sucked. Okay, let me try this again. Welcome, bienvenue, à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, and a.k.a. Gaston Lebanor. Gaston, can't you see? Sometimes your word just hypnotize me. All right. Before I continue, I want to acknowledge the fact that this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on March 19, 2025. And this episode is also rated R and F. The F is for fuck Whitey. No, I mean it. Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Now that I got that out the way, I want to express a special shout out to the heartbeat of this thing of ours, this interaction. And that's all you listeners. So I'm going to ask before we continue, I'm going to need you listeners to stand up wherever you are and applaud yourself. Starting now. And if you happen to be a new listener who stumbled upon this podcast by mistake, welcome. Seriously, welcome. Yay! Here's hoping something I see on this episode will resonate and allow us to change to make history. Right? Okay. All right, reminder, shutuppodcast.com is the website, and shutuppodcast411 at gmail.com is the email address, because some of you might have some stuff to say by the end of this episode, so get your keyboard and your Twitter fingers ready. That's an insult, eh? Isn't it offensive to say Twitter fingers? I mean, because I don't pull triggers. But I do have Twitter fingers. Wait, I'm not a fuck Twitter. Okay, sorry. All right. I am so unserious on this podcast. I don't know who referred you, but Pas très sérieux. Okay. Today's episode titled 249, Don't Buy a Tesla. I'm going to talk about the pretty white Canadian woman, white Canadian woman who was detained by ICE for 2 weeks. Her name is Jasmine Mooney, and I'm also going to talk about the idea, this concept I've been reflecting on being authentic and offensive. Like, what happens when those two interact? And for those of you experienced listeners, you're going to be like, hey, B, usually in your description, you only talk about your feature thought. How come you only got, you got two feature thought? I don't. I just felt like showcasing those two thoughts. And you know why? Do you know why? Because it's my goddamn episode. Also, some of you are saying, hey, B, how come the title of your episode doesn't relate to your feature thought? Well, if you happen to notice, if you're a longtime listener, I like to switch shit up sometimes, right? I like to switch it up. It's just something I do. And you know why I did it? Why? Because it's my goddamn podcast. I think I should replace the motto for the podcast, Safe Space for My Thought, with it's my goddamn podcast. Problem is, goddamn is considered a swear word. Oops, forgot to hit record. A swear word. That blink you just heard is the camera going on. I like to record myself Because it's in preparation for at some point I'm going to share my shit on TikTok. But not this particular episode. Holy fuck. There's Swiss and West. What do you call it? There's like a duster in the background. Yeah, I got to clean this place up. Oh, my God. Like, my place looks like a disaster. Un pack à cochon, like my mom would say. A park for pigs. Damn, she was cold. She was cold. Anyway, yeah. All right, okay. Before we get to those feature thoughts, let's do some quotes. Let's share some quotes and some quotes and randomness. All right? All right. Let's go. All right. First, at the beginning, I went to the gym today, boys and girls. I went to the gym. You know what? If you applaud it, you're fat phobic. I'm kidding. I went for a second time. The workout was actually better than the first time I went. Sometimes I think it's the food that I ate before. It gave me all the proper energy and the fact that I don't know. It was a good workout. I'm debating now, but the problem is I'm stuck on what kind of class I want to sign up for. Because on one end, I think about all the times that I've felt that feeling, and it's like, yeah, I'm going to stick to the gym, and then quit. Yeah, it's like I'm trying to reassure myself. I'm trying to identify what's different this time than all the time. And I could, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to do it on this podcast. I forgot I have a podcast. I was brainstorming this shit. And so far, I can tell myself that the one thing that I'm willing to do, that I will be doing different than I've done in every time I've gone to the gym. Unfortunately, I can't play the song, but I'm doing it my way, like Frank Sinatra. My goddamn way. And what I mean by that is, I was in there and my knees are fucked up. And this younger me would go to the gym and, well, I got to compete with everyone else. Or people are looking at me looking bad. People are looking at me raising a pink barbell. Is it barbell? The one, what's the one? The curl bell. The one you do with one hand. Stop asking stupid questions. You're holding back the gym and shit like that. Nah, I think this time I'm doing shit like making sure I do the exercise properly. I remember this one time I was doing I forget what that exercise the barbell. You're doing curls with two hands, and I was doing it because I was looking at other people. I was doing it really whack. It's like I was swinging it, whatever, right? And this dude, God bless this dude. I don't know him for bad. He might be a bad person, but whatever, it doesn't matter. But I love these moments between strangers. This dude noticed that I was doing. Hey, bro. Didn't even know me. And he goes, yo, do the full range. And then I did it and realized that I can't do this friggin' weight. And then found the weight that I was comfortable with and then the full range, and I felt it. It felt good. I could feel my arms going, oh, okay, this is what we signed up for. My point is, it was that day that I understood the value of having a proper form. It took me a while. It wasn't instant. Like, it took me a while to get to the point of fuck heavyweights, fuck competing with everyone. I'm not here to impress the hot chicks in the gym. Do the weight that you're essentially, and I think this is my key, the key point is, have fun. Enjoy your time in the gym. I think, like, one of those corrections I'm trying to make in life is I was that kid who hated gym class. And I got to tell you, the gym teacher didn't actually help the situation either. Because I was the fat kid. And they had as much patience with me that I have with myself. So they'd be like, oh, you know, it was just, and then you got the competitive kids, and then you got the ones who were like, who would like, you know, oh, you were their entertainment. you know, they were whack, but they would use you as the distraction. It's okay, come on, Tubby. Sorry, I'm thinking of an episode of The Simpsons. just thinking about it makes me laugh. There's an episode where I forget the name of the character, the fat kid, and he couldn't do a pull up. The gym teacher's like, no one's leaving until this Christmas ham. Gives me another pull up. Sorry. I was that Christmas ham. That's the point. It's funny. I can laugh now, but what I'm getting at is, I'm trying to unlearn. I'm trying to succeed where my gym teacher failed. So that's one thing. I'm doing shit my way. Fuck embarrassment. Fuck whatever. Yeah, no, I can't do that. Wait, I'm going to do the one. Hey, excuse me. Hey, you got a substitute for that exercise? Because my fat ass can't do it. Two, not letting salespeople talk me into plans that won't work. It bothered me that I would. There was times where I would just stop going to the gym and still pay, and I felt like I was donating to these fuckers. That's number two, and three. Yeah, I think this is the most important part in there, and that's what made this workout good. I won't deny the two coaches that I've had. They were cool folks. And the first one said something that really resonated with me. She said, listen to your body. And that's what I was doing this third time. It's not just listening to my body, but the motivation came from within. It wasn't the other guy, come on, you can do two, come on. You know, like a gym sergeant. Nah, I don't do that. I mean, I appreciated the, hey, you're doing well and shit like that. I did appreciate that. But this time around, it's my voice that I'm listening to. I'm thinking about, there was a sign when I was working out, and they said, show your inner voice who's boss. And so what I mean by my voice is the voice that was saying, yeah, no, we could do this. We got this. We got, you know, we got this. This is, yeah, yo, fuck that. 80%, nigga, I'm going to 81%, whatever. Like, I was pushing myself, but not to the point of hurting myself. That makes sense? Yeah. All right, so yeah, that summarizes. Anyway, I'm still thinking about it. Next, I will explain what. I'll talk about what. I'll talk about my results. But yeah, that's my status for the gym. yeah, that's it. All right, you know, I just realized that I forgot to do quotes. So I talked about the gym. Okay, let me do the quotes real quick, and then we'll get and I'll continue with randomness. Like I jumped into randomness. And let's give this a shot. Okay, first quote goes. I like this one. I've heard this one before. Your life right now is a result of what you did a year ago. Your life a year from now will be a result of what you did right now. Act accordingly. You know what's amazing that I share this after talking about going to the gym. You fat fuck. All right, stop it, B, stop. Sorry, I'm very fat phobic. wow, man, holy shit. If I still believed in divine intervention, I'd be like, oh shit, God orchestrated this shit. All right, okay, second quote goes, sorry, I accidentally clicked on a Trump article. All right. Positivity doesn't mean you have to be happy all the time. It means that even the hard days, that on the hard days, you know that better. Positivity doesn't mean you have to be happy all the time. It means that even on the hard days, you know that better days are ahead. And last quote goes, take risks. If you win, you will be happy. If you lose, you will be wiser. All right. Okay. Okay. Let's get back to randomness. Okay. All right. This next one here is the story of The story of, how long is this shit? No, it's not that long. Okay. The story of Telvin Osborne. I don't know who he is, but what's her name? Francesca. You know what? I'm going to find it. No, it wasn't Francesca. It was, oh my God. I forget her name. Okay. I'll tell you what. I'm going to play the story of Telvin Osborne, and the links will be in the show notes. And I'll tell you what, let me read the first paragraph. All right. The fatal shooting of Telvin Osborne has ignited a storm of reaction across social media, not only due to the circumstances of his death, but also because of his past comment disparaging black women. Many online users have expressed mixed feelings with some showing no sympathy for Osborne, citing his words as evidence of deep-seated self-hatred. You know what? Okay, fuck it. Let me keep reading. I'm going to keep reading. All right, okay. controversial comments resurface. Okay, so apparently, I'll give you the summary, right? Apparently, this Telvin Osborne guy, shit. Okay, fuck it. I'm going to read this. Sorry. I'm going to read this. Following news of Osborne's death, past statements attributed to him began circulating online, sparking heated debates. A resurfaced quote allegedly from Osborne stated, I'm reading it. If I bone a dog, I'll F a dog before I'll F a black bitch. It gotta be a white dog though. He's kind of doing us a favor. Yeah, I would rather you fuck dogs than fuck black women. Oh my God, or any woman for that fact. Holy shit. Okay, and this statement along with other remarks praising white women. Jesus Christ, this is a funny story, facts. While denigrating black women has fueled polarizing response to his death. Some social media user expressed sadness. Why the fuck? Okay, fuck you, sorry. Woo! Blood pressure, B. Some social media users expressed sadness over his tragic fate, while others pointed out what they saw as the irony of his demise at the hands of the very demographic he exalted. I'm going to get to how this dude died, for those who don't know. Social media reactions. The online response has been overwhelmingly critical, with many users condemning Osborne's word and suggesting that his fate was a result of internalized racism. Whatever diagnosis you want, he deserved that shit. One Twitter user expressed disappointment, revealing a personal connection to Osborne. This one hurts because this is my man's family, but I still gotta tell the truth. Old boy Telvin was on some coon shit. His praise of white women's. This is just like that Nigerian dude that got poked up by his white blessing, then we found all the Akata's damn Telbo. I'm not sure what that meant. Another user explicitly called for black women to withhold sympathy, pointing at his past remarks. Black women, remember to drink water and mind your business when it comes to sympathy for Telvin Osborne being killed by his white girlfriend, Hannah Cobb. He hated you and left the proof. Good riddance to both of them. Both of them. A different perspective highlighted. Okay, this is a dumb article. All right, yeah. The dude was killed by his white girlfriend. How did she kill him? Hannah Cobb, that's his name? Jesus Christ. Oh, where's the buzz? Is this a BuzzFeed shit? Okay, I'm going to the article about... Anyway, so this black dude, look, this is a dysfunctional human being. Let's just agree on that shit. A dysfunctional, I'm not trying to say all lives matter, some shit like that, but let's establish he was a dysfunctional human being. and it would make sense that he would date another dysfunctional human being. Burke County authorities are investigating a tragic shooting that left one man dead early Sunday morning. The suspect, 28-year-old Hannah Cobb, had been arrested and charged with involuntary manslaughter following the incident, which occurred at the residence of Hezeba, Georgia, early morning shooting. So she shot him. Do they say why? I mean, she's dysfunctional, but do they say why? They have a kid together? Yo, this is a fucked up story. Yo, my apologies to all you, to my fellow highly sensitive people who are distraught by this story. Yeah, man. Okay, I don't think I'm going to dig deeper. Holy fuck, this is too... Wow, man, the world we lived in. You know, okay, when I shared this story, it was more... I think I'm going to stick to... I'm not going to delete what I posted already, right? But the more I'm going through this, I'm like, B, why the fuck are we covering this story? Yeah, I talk about myself in the third person. And, I think I'm just going to share the... I'm going to end this and just point to the TikTok clip that inspired me to look into this story. And hold on, let me give this lady her credit due. Profile, liked. The name of the content creator, her name is... I watched... There we go. Her name is... This one here.
So this black man, Telvin Osborne, who made it his entire personality to let everybody know how much he hates black women. I mean, every chance he got, he talked about some, hear ye, I hate black women. Made a tweet that said he would rather fuck a dog than fuck a black woman. And then he followed it up with, it gotta be a white dog though. His white baby mama shot and killed him.
White baby mama. Don't laugh.
Well, y'all have got to unpack this bakoonery and go talk to that lady, because this hatred and visceral reaction that you have towards black women to the point where it puts your life in fucking danger is crazy. All because of what? Your mother didn't love you enough, or that black girl in third grade didn't want to share her crayons with you? Like, what the? Y'all really need to unpack this shit. Y'all be talking about some, yeah, black females are just loud and ghetto, white women just bring peace. That lady gonna bring you a piece of steel. And his family member, I think it's his brother, is mad because the support for Telvin is as empty as a J-Lo concert tour. Like, girl, what did you expect? This man has a digital footprint of consistently bashing black women, and you want us to be upset that he's no longer here to continue his bakoonery?
Nurse.
Please be serious. I'm gonna hold your hand with a napkin in between when I say this. All I have is concepts of thoughts and prayers. May he rest in preference. Hope this helps. Peace and love. Talk to you later.
So I didn't catch that. All I have is a concept of thoughts and prayers. Ain't shit sacred, man. Fuck that. Fuck that, dude. I believe in, if you want to be remembered right, act right. If you go do some dumb shit, then yeah, whatever. Wow, that's a fucked up story, man. Okay, we're going to move this right along. And hold on, name of the content creator, her name is Nene Jones. Nene_Jones. Yeah, she's very popular. Something tells me you already know who she is. If you don't, now you know. All right, okay. Next item. Damn, that was a fucked up story. Okay, I have a lot of videos today. Okay, let me play this one, right? And I'm going to label this one under when racism is in their best interest. Is their best interest. Here we go.
I had a professor during like a midterm election intentionally put my class on this discussion to talk about why do people vote against their own best interest. And she let us run that conversation for like 45 minutes. And we gave tons of different answers. We were talking about a lack of education. We were talking about literacy rates. We were talking about propaganda. We went so far as to talk about things like library funding and a lack of access to the internet in rural areas. But eventually, she interrupted us all, and she said, "I'm sure that all plays a role. I'm not saying any of you are necessarily wrong. But what about your bias as an observer in this situation?" Mm-mm. And all of us said, "What are you talking about?" And she went on to explain that in the entire conversation we were having about people voting against their own best interest, we never stopped to ask what those people thought their best interest was. We're doing the same thing with farmers right now, specifically white farmers, let's be clear. They voted for Donald Trump despite what we would assume their best interests are: losing their workers, losing their farm, going bankrupt, etc. They did it regardless. So the question then becomes, what do they think their best interest is if it's not all the things that we've assumed? And the answer is probably white supremacy. You say they let their racism and misogyny get in the way. No, they let their racism and misogyny be their priority. It didn't get in the way of what their own best interests are. It was their best interest.
Woo! Oh my God. She said that shit. There's a whole book about that. Look, dear white people, check yourself before you wreck yourself. No, that wasn't a threat. This is more like, yo, all of us seem to be, I'm gonna start with black people. It's like we're in a car. We're on a plane, and white people are the pilot, and racism is like their drug. And this plane's gonna crash. Until white people can start analyzing and understanding how fucked up racism is. And I don't mean like, oh, it's hurting black people's feelings. No, I don't mean to that level. I mean to the point that it's affecting you. To the point that you realize it's like a drug. It's like, it's got you being taken advantage of. Trump is like the dope dealer. And racism is the crack that he's selling you, that he's slaying at you and getting rich off. And as a result, and it's like, this is not the first time that racism, white people chose racism over any kind of progress. It's like, fuck that. The nigger's gonna be in the pool, but fuck that. Let's get rid of the pool. What? Niggers gonna get healthcare? Fuck that. Let's get rid of healthcare. It's got you behaving in a way that's self-destructive. And here's the thing, and this is where the analogy of the plane is. It'd be different if it was just killing you. I'd be like, oh man, thoughts and prayers. But you're the fucking pilot right now. You're destroying shit that the rest of us need. And when black people said that, you know, in the United States, the 92%, 78% of black folks, the black male, 92% black women, were saying that, yo, fuck it. We're staying out of this anymore. It's basically is, look, if the plane's going to crash, then it's going to crash. Because essentially, until y'all could see how fucked up this racism is even affecting you, we're all dying. We're all going down with this shit. And the last point I'm going to make about this video is it's also a reminder of Trump has been doing some shit that it's as if he's trying to say, yo, white people, this is who we are. This is like it or not, this is who we are. Embrace the dark side or embrace your whiteness. Embrace it. We ain't shit. I'm going to show you how terrible we are as a people. And either you're with me or again. and here's the thing. He knows that a majority of you, unlike this white woman over here, will stand on the sideline and be like, no, not all white people. No, I'm not like him. Or Trump is just stupid. Or the most you're going to do is go online and talk about how Trump is stupid. Meanwhile, he's crashing the plane. Because he knows a bunch of you ain't going to do shit about it. I gotta tell you, man, this is like Civil War Part 2. And Trump is leading the rebels, and he's saying, Trump is leading the rebels, and the Union Army is still, like, on the internet talking shit. And whatever. Okay. All right, that's it. I'm trying to say that y'all got to look at it from their perspective. They don't care that they look stupid. They don't care that they're working their best interest, because Trump is feeding them that crap that they love. And shaming them won't change their habit. All right. Okay. This one here, it's called The Story of Tamla Horsford. It's a TikTok clip that I wanted to hear, that I remember watching it, and it was an interesting story, but I just wanted to hear it, and I'm just going to play it here so we could share. We're going to listen to it all together, all right? And then, yeah, take it from there. Here we go. I guess the theme of today's episode is racism, I guess, and this is why I'm telling you not to buy a Tesla. By the way, there's actually a whole movement about don't buy a Tesla, which has inspired today's title, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I'll talk about the video that inspired today's thought. All right, here we go. Oh, right now, the story of Tamla Horsford.
I don't know what it's like to be a woman of color, but I do know that if I were a woman of color, my number one thing, like, no-brainer would be that I would have no white women friends.
First off, I just want to say chef kisses on the video, Haley. And thank you for bringing up this topic, because you reminded me how many racist situations and fucked up situations I've been in the past because I've surrounded myself with the wrong white women. Mm. I want to start with my earliest experience of everything that Haley's talking about in this video. So I was a part of a TikTok creator house. We were in Sherman, Texas. I was the only black girl. Things were great. They loved me. And then one of my housemates kept saying the N-word. And when I tell you that when I addressed that the N-word was being said, everybody's emotions towards me changed. Like, I was the ultimate problem of everything with this house going wrong, because I was being subjected to hearing the N-word said. When I tell you there was videos of people sobbing, crying, coming forward to say that I was lying about the N-word being said. And then not even a moment after all of these people stopped being friends, they start saying that it was true. And stopped there. I'm gonna give you guys another example. So I went to the National Finals Rodeo, and there was this girl there. I don't know her from Adam and Eve. I probably wouldn't recognize her if I seen her in person today. Ran into Dr. Weber from Grey's Anatomy, and she came up to me at the same time that I seen him. So she makes a video saying that she met the worst influencer ever. I'm not thinking she's talking about me. I didn't even see the video. You know what? I want to make a point, though. So many of my counterparts, my white counterparts in that industry, seen that video. Even girls I thought were I was friends with until after all this situation happened, they didn't even tell me that the video might have been about me. They just started acting weird towards me. But I did look for her after I took this picture. Bruh. It went from me being the worst influencer ever to me and her were at the same party and I bumped into her and she almost fell. And I didn't take it serious. I thought it was a whole joke, like for real. As a black woman, in that moment, I learned that when they can't fuck up what you have going on, they come for your character. Anyways, when I tell y'all, I had never seen more people that I thought was my friends in her comments, white women, that I didn't even know that I had issues with me, that smile in pictures next to me. So boom, all that happened. I'm the worst influencer ever because I bumped into somebody. Like, people don't bump into people at Walmart all the time. I wanted to annihilate my character in any way that she could. And the only way that she could do that was making me the aggressor, making me seem like I was physical with her. When I tell y'all a white woman's tears are real, I did so much work for this brand, and boom, the moment something negative was said about me, boom, they unfollowed me. I was like, damn, don't just unfollow me. Take all my pictures down too. All right. The free work that I did for you, you know? And I say all of that because it's not about what I lost, but it's the double standard. I was cool with this girl for so long. Pictures smiling, she calls me crying when things happen in her life, I call her crying. The moment that white girl spoke negatively on me, boom, never heard from her again. But you know what was crazy? I remember whenever people were going through her old tweets and she used to always say the N-word, and she contacted me to apologize about saying the N-word. And I was like, girl, we cool. You know, like, those are old tweets back in the day. Like, I can, but the moment you as a person of color does something that does not align with their white ideology of you, whew, the double standards be double standarding. I'm gonna give you all another example. I was friends with this girl. She made a video talking about how if you go to Africa and you're white, that the black people are going to rob you.
Whoa.
I'm like, damn, did she forget that she has black friends when she made that video? I messaged her on Instagram. Hey, this makes me uncomfortable. Like, you know, I'm your black friend. Whoa. When I tell y'all, she waited months until somebody else was talking about. When I tell y'all, when the girl said that I bumped into her and she fell, then she makes a video talking about, oh, I've just never supported her. I never liked her. Where did all this come from? Jesus. When I tell you they will group together to try to bring you down. Boom, I want to use her as an example too. She commented in the comments talking about some, yeah, she just kept walking in front of me. Am I threatening or is my skin color threatening? I'm so confused because so many people walk in front of people all the time. But like as a black woman, you cannot have your opinion about things and not like people and then be comfortable about it because then they start spewing stories or making shit up about you. So it's like, girl, the only reason I don't like you is because you made a post whenever George Floyd was killed and said that there was more support for George Floyd than there was for the military men and women that lost their lives in battle. And I addressed it. It made me uncomfortable because that man was murdered. And then these are people that know that they are taking the chance to lose their lives. So you don't like me, so now you want to bandwagon on and say I was walking in front of you? Like, just been a, I don't like you. It's just, you're not somebody I want to be around. That was it. Mm-hmm. I say all of that to say, the moment they can weaponize your skin color against you and make you look like what they act like black people act like, just be careful. And I do want to say Haley's video was way deeper than the points that I've mentioned in this video. I just wanted to give you guys some context of how this shit actually works and how deep it is. And that sometimes the racism be smiling right in your face and calling you sis and calling you bestie.
Yep. Okay, hold on. Name of the content creator is Jadea Kirschwood. Oh, I think I got my names fucked up. Okay, hold on. Okay, let me get this cleared up here. Oh, yeah, I'm so confused. Okay, sorry, guys. Okay, I'm going to rename this segment to the story of Jadea Kirschwood. Jadea Kirsch. Arkansas's first black rodeo queen. Oh, shit. Oh, you're going to make me hate watching Yellowstone. It's, I don't know how I got the name. You know what? Let's just move along, man. Okay, so this is the story of Arkansas's first black rodeo queen. Good for her. And yeah, that was a fucked up story, gang. That's, one thing is, there's a word she used. She said everything. She used the word the wrong white people, and it made me realize everything I say when I talk about white people or my experience with white people, I'm acknowledging it was with the wrong white people. This is me acknowledging the humanity of a white person. Yeah. What? I don't have to do that on my podcast. If I need to explain this to you, yeah. Then you shouldn't be listening. All right, okay. That's messed up, man. That's a tough story. Especially I think the one part that gets missed when black folks a person like her explains her story. That's some hurtful shit. I mean, I wonder. I don't know. I guess my skin ain't that thick. I would have been like, it's stories I'd be sharing from. This would be laugh at my pain type stories. All right. Okay. All right, gang. Let me, before we get to, okay, we're at the feature thought section. And now let's just talk about, here's what happened, gang, is initially the feature thought was going to be about authenticity and being offensive. But then I just happened to come across this article on The Guardian about titled I'm the Canadian woman who was detained by ICE for 2 weeks. It feels like I had been kidnapped. All right, and I'm going to play a short version of the story basically from from Global News. And I want you to remember, this is a white woman we're speaking about. A white woman. Sure, she's Canadian, but still, well, I don't know, she looks white. She's from Yukon. And whatever, here we go.
I do not wish it upon anyone.
Okay, the caption goes, Jasmine Mooney. Before I continue, I wonder if her ancestors had anything to do with the ownership of Paul Mooney. But whatever, that's another story. Jasmine Mooney is home after U.S. ICE detained her when she reapplied for her work visa.
Do you regret going across the border?
I mean, yeah, of course. Like, if I knew that was even a possibility, like even a possibility that could happen, I would have never in a million years gone there. Like, I'm telling you, from the second I got there to now, like, I can't even process what just happened because there was no heads up. Next thing you know, I'm taken. And for 2 weeks, haven't been told anything, moved in different cells, sleeping on cement, sleeping in different jail cells. What I was told was I should have applied through the consulate, and because of my situation, they had to send me back to Canada. They said, you're not in trouble, you're not a criminal, you didn't do anything wrong. And then I sat down and I was looking to book flights home, because that's what I assumed that I was supposed to do, that I would just show them that I'm going home, and then next thing you know, I was taken. My entire experience, everyone in there was like, as soon as I would speak, they're like, whoa, wait, where are you from? I'm like, Canada. They're like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I don't know. Everyone thought I was from Russia. It was hilarious. So I just spent the rest of my time trying to console and help as many women as I could, because there was one girl that was in there for 10 months. So 2 weeks compared to 10 months, how am I supposed to complain about anything, right?
I mentioned this was a white woman. She was an American Pie. Okay, I'm going to leave the Guardian article, they're calling it an essay that she wrote. Let you read it for yourself. And again, links are in the show notes. I'm the Canadian who was detained by ICE for two weeks, and two key points that stuck into me. I remember she got to the part where, I guess at the beginning when she was getting locked up, thrown in jail, confused as fuck. I'm like, you sure you got the right person? You guys realize I'm and whatever, man. And then she was talking about there was this, one of the nurses who was there, and she said, and they had a conversation, said, yo, what the fuck you doing here? Anyways, it was more like, she prayed with her and said shit like, yo, I think you're here for a reason. You know, one of the believe your shit, whatever, right? But I remember reading that going, man, I ain't trying to hear this Christian shit. But towards the end, I'm like, okay, maybe she was right. No, not that you're here for a reason, but it's more how this woman turned. It's like, yo, you motherfuckers don't know who you're fucking with. It's basically how she took the time to look at everyone else who was locked up, who was in their same predicament as her, and realize that, what, you've been here for 5 months? What, you've been here for what? Shit like that, like she was with all the other, she spoke with the other women and realized how, yo, my situation ain't shit compared to everyone in here. And now she's writing, now she's like, her story is all over the place. But my favorite part in her article is how she revealed, she said how, yo, this whole ICE thing, man, fuck that. It ain't about protecting the borders. It ain't about making Americans safe. You know what it is? These facilities that they lock these people in are for fucking profit. They make a profit from the people who get locked up. Imagine that. So it's in their interest to be like, hey, what's with all the syllables in your name? Lock them up. Hey, sorry, I remember I have a redneck friend. We weren't friends, actually, but a co-worker. And I was thinking about a joke we were making. It wasn't really that funny, but about deportation, working at the border, whatever, right? This is me. When I hang out with white people, I play the role. Anyway, whatever. I laugh to keep from crying. Okay, I'm going to get to the paragraph. She goes, the reality became clear. ICE detention isn't just a bureaucratic nightmare. It's a business. These facilities are privately owned and run for profit. These facilities are privately owned and run for profit. These facilities are privately owned and run for profit. Companies like CoreCivic and Geo Group receive government funding based on the number of people they detain, which is why they lobby for stricter immigration policy. It's a lucrative business Core Civic made over $560 million from ICE contracts in a single year. That's a lot. That's a lot, chunk of change, man. In 2024, Geo Group made more than $763 million from ICE contracts. Yo, when Trump was reelected and showed up to inauguration, there was a lot of these people who were like, oh, we're going to make a shitload of money. Thank you, Jesus Trump. And I won't lie. Fuck it. Hate me for what I'm about to say next. Part of me is kind of jealous that I can't get in on this shit. Some motherfuckers are going to make boku bucks from this shit. Yeah, sure. I mean, so, you know, some poor brown person is locked in immediately. Oh, man, you know what's sad? Okay, I'm thinking about the Venezuelan who were deported to people from Venezuela, people who were deported to Venezuela and without due process. And fuck some of these people. And whatever, man. Story breaks my heart. What gets me is how, because when I reread the part about being a for-profit is, I used to work in the United States. And, sorry, I'm thinking about how my dad was thinking, yeah, it's a waste of your time. Nah, fuck it. Anyways, I used to be a, yeah, funny story. I used to, those who've heard this podcast or have heard this story before, but I used to work in the United States. I wanted to work for Napster. Didn't pan out. But that's not the point. But I experienced being in a foreign country and having a work visa. And I joke about how, and I remember when I got laid off from my company, rereading my agreement, and it was like, and I'm paraphrasing here, and it was like, yeah, dear black ass Canadian, you got 10 American days to get your black ass out of this country. It's basically now that you've lost your job, because the only reason for this visa to be valid is your employment. Your employment with the company. Now that they've motherfuckers, now that these people have come to their senses and and laid you off, you got 10 American days to get your black ass out the country. At the time, Trump was in power. And something tell me he wasn't bullshit. Granted, it helped that I was homesick. It's it's a good thing I did not fall in love while I was over there. Or knocked up some chick, you know what I mean? And then because I would have done some shit like, hey, I'm gonna stick around, find a new job. Because apparently that's how it works over there. You find a new job, but you stick around. You overstay your visa, find a new job, and then say, hey, here's my new agreement. Here's my new visa agreement. And you make it look like you didn't overstay. But my point is, it was common for Canadians, IT professionals who were in the States to overstay their visa and work out their paperwork. And in their mind, it was like jaywalking. It's like, worst case scenario, I have to pay a fine. Because I know white people. Trump is like, nah, fuck that. Lock them up. Could you imagine? Oh, my God. I wouldn't have last. I mean, okay, maybe I wouldn't have last, man. I'm hearing this white woman's story about, yeah, they had us in a cold cell, an aluminum folio paper. What the fuck? And, yeah. No, it's a cruel story, man. It's a bad story. I remember I was adding this point. I was like, I was thinking about how ever since Trump's inauguration, and this might sound cold, but I haven't been able to think about the tragedy, the horror stories in Palestine. And I think this was part of the whole plan. Because the inhumanity, the bullshit that Trump's been doing has been enough to overwhelm me. Yeah, and I'm a sensitive, I gotta like budget this shit. I can't be, teenage me could have been like focused on every bad thing going on in the world. Now I gotta be like, I gotta budget that shit. I can't help anyone if I'm depressed. And to the people out there going, oh, fuck, there's shit going on in Palestine. is worse than the people, what happened to that white woman? Yeah, but it's close to home. Holy fuck. During World War II, during any war, you're thinking about the missiles coming in before you're thinking about, I wonder about the price of eggs in China. You know what I mean? I'm thinking of a teacher who my English teacher saying that. I wonder what the price of eggs in China is. Yep. It's cold, man. It's, I'm trying, what song am I thinking about right now? So much trouble in the world. Anyways, that's the story, gang. I'll let you read it for yourself and take it from there. Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's jump to, it's a fucked up story. Yeah. It's a great read. Great read. All right. Let's jump to, another, I'm scrolling and I just remembered the one thing that I appreciate about what she did, homegirl, Jasmine Mooney. There's a picture of the letters she, so when she was leaving, a bunch of women came up to her and asked her, hey, can you mail these letters to my loved, can you, everyone came with a letter asking her, can you mail this to my loved ones? That's fucked up, man. I'm glad she did it, but it's sad how she was there, hey, can you send these letters to my loved ones to let them know that I'm going to be okay? I have a friend who's going to the States for business reasons. And she's brown. She's brown. She was joking about like, yo, if they locked up a pretty white woman like her, there's no chance of that. Like she's having like reservation about crossing the border. And I'm trying to imagine, like she's got a lot of friends, right? But I'm trying to imagine showing up to the consulate, but hey, not knowing where the fuck she is, being locked up, and you know, trying to hope for the best. But the thing is, as a guy controlling my anger, but my anger that I'd be doing some unproductive shit, like being like, fuck the people, fuck them, fuck, you know, it's what are you gonna do? Kind of, yeah. Anyway, this bothers me. Yo, I'm going to apologize if this is a depressing episode on racism, but it's also a reminder to not buy a Tesla. I'm just saying, I'm like, look, man, the only way things change is if pockets start hurting. That's the only language these folks can understand. It's like, we need rich people to be like, hold on, that's my bank account balance? I don't know how rich people work. But they need to be like, hey, man, you fucking up the money. That's the only way they're like, whoa, we need to reconsider. It's not going to be Jesus. It's not going to be whatever the fuck, a religion. It's not going to be like, I'm having a conscious of crisis, a crisis of conscience, whatever. It's going to be like, whoa, wait, hold on a second. I can't pay these child supports, baby. What do you mean I got to pay for regular guys? Fuck that shit. Whatever. I don't know how rich people think. But their pockets got to, a white person's pockets got to hurt. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's why I'm saying don't buy a goddamn Tesla. Yeah, links are in the show notes about where the video that inspired the whole don't buy a Tesla. All right. So, yeah. We got to come together on this shit, man. And you know what? Last point. Yeah, what gets me about this whole migrant thing is the white people who are like, I say white people, but, you know, white people and their allies. The white people who are like, yeah, man, all right, Trump's doing it, kicking them out. Nah, you're playing the game, man. You're serving white. This is why you white folks are like the worst allies in this class warfare. Because you let the enemy tell you who your enemy is. Shit, whatever. Okay, all right. Let's jump to feature thought. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. All right? Okay. Okay, before I start, I'm going to attempt to make a connection between the idea of being authentic and offensive and this next video. I just feel like sharing it. Whether there's a connection or not, I'm just gonna play it, all right? And it goes, people that ain't supposed to be in your life.
People that ain't supposed to be in your life hear you differently. Mm. They ain't supposed to hear you correctly. They ain't supposed to understand what you're saying. It's supposed to cause a misunderstanding and a disagreement because y'all are supposed to part ways. But the people who are meant to be in your life will hear you, and they're going to hear you loud and clear. Going to damn to be able to finish your sentence for you.
Man, content creator's name is the big madam, Madam Jelly. Man, fuck. The way she said that, it's like she's talking to me directly. And it reminds me of the time where there's something about the way she's speaking. It reminds me of when I went to Bob Marley's, was it his estate? I forget. It was some tour I went with the last time I was in Jamaica. By Jamaica, I mean the resort. So big difference. And I walked in and I'm surrounded by white people and this black woman with dreads, like, what's that word? Like, spots me. I can't remember the word she said, but it was like she acknowledged my presence. It's like, black man. Forget the word she said. It was how she made me feel. I just remember how she made me feel. It was, she singled me out of all these white people. And I mean, like, right on, black man. It's like she was like celebrating my existence. And I wanted to hug her so bad. She had no idea. At the time, I was like, hey, white people. No, we're not going to plan a revolution. Yeah, you know, whatever, man. I'm going to make a podcast about how my state when I'm around white people that I don't know. But whatever, man. I was in like, whatever. But at the same time, I was like, I mean, I acknowledged her. Don't get me wrong. I said, yeah, whatever. I smiled back. Did I hug her? I can't remember. I remember wanting to hug her, but I remember feeling special. Oh my God. I'm in the middle of explaining how the way she speaks, it's like she singled me out and, nah, bro, you need to hear this. I'm talking to you. I know what the fuck's going on in your life. I know what you're thinking, and I need you to stop thinking that the people who aren't supposed to be in your life matter. God damn it. Damn it. All right. Where I'm going with this is I was in authentic and offensive. I wrote this in my notepad and I'm like, in my digital notepad. And I'm like, and I'm trying to remember what inspired that thought. And it hit me. It was like I was talking to my mother. And I don't know what word I went to. I want to say interesting, but it's deeper than that. I have a complex relationship with my mom. Let's just say. You know, I mean, love her. She's my mom. You know, give me birth, name, all that shit, right? But sometimes it's like, it's like, I didn't ask to be born. You know, whatever. That's not the point. That's not the point. But I was talking with her. I was just in my mode of don't say anything that's good. Whatever. I was just, the conversation ended with her saying, be with God, something related to God and whatever. And something about God or whatever. She was talking about, and the thing is, I'm a former Christian. I never told her that. I ain't trying to have that conversation. This is where I'm going with this. She doesn't know that I'm a former Christian. But I go along with the, yeah, whatever. Go with God, whatever. God bless you, shit like that. I go with it. I don't respond. I just accept it and whatever. And it reminded me how I've developed this habit. When I'm around Christians, actually, I do this with white people too, but this is a little more complicated. It's like I enable them, I go out of my way to not offend them. To not say anything that might offend them. And that includes lying or just playing along with whatever you want to say about God. right? Like, on my end, I'm a former Christian. That includes not disclosing the fact that I'm a former Christian. And it just, I remember hanging up the phone and realizing how the reason I do that is I've gotten into this habit of not offending them. Because I've dealt with some fragile people who are like, whoa, what do you mean my God ain't the greatest? What do you mean you don't believe in Jesus? Like, that's what would offend them. It would send them a barrage of nagging, lecturing, and shit I just don't want to hear. It's like, yo, shut up. You know, it's like I've been, beaten into, yeah, whatever. Whatever the fuck you want to believe, I'm going to pretend to believe. And my intention is to not be offensive. Now, I know there are people in the world that they're offended at the fact that you would play them like that. But that's not who I grew up with. I grew up with some fragile folks who are like, hey, I need you to believe in this white Jesus shit. And if you don't, just smile at me and pretend like you do. And it had me thinking about how my journey to be a more authentic human being and how I've gotten into the, like, shrinking myself because I didn't want to offend someone else. Now, this, it's not just religion that plays a fact. This also goes as a black person. It's not making it about race. You know what? Let me share this with you guys. It's a joke that I'm working on, but it's based on this list that I'm working on. It goes, things I picked up while growing up with white people. And it's a way of saying that this is what happens when you allow black kids to hang out with white kids. I ended up picking up their values. I ended up picking up learning their belief, internalizing, incorporating their beliefs. Shit like racism is just a figment of my imagination as a black person. Racism is something that us black folks created to hurt white people's feelings. Racism is my fault. As in, the joke is, it's like, wait a minute, what do you mean so-and-so called you a nigger? Okay, wait, hold on a second. Before we call him, were you behaving like a nigger? Because that's what happens, you know? I mean, sometimes a white man needs to call a nigger, you know what I mean? So it's whatever. Shit like the past has no bearing on the future. The past has no bearing on the present. Well, specifically your past. Slavery was a long time ago, and it has nothing, and it has no effect on today. And nigger is just a six-letter word. It shouldn't hurt your feelings. It's shit to survive in that world. It's shit that I internalized. I accepted. I pretended to believe. Because if I didn't, I was surrounded because it would disrupt my relationship with these white people. I'm thinking of the average white person has, like, you know, their parents set them up for failure. Their parents, grandparents, it's like, look, they didn't tell them the truth about their history with black people or the reason why black people are in the situation that they are. It's like, well, the reason why, you know, black people commit crime in Africa, you know, these guys are savages. And you tell them shit like, yeah, well, you know, Europe, where we came from, well, we kind of ripped them off. But what I'm getting at is their white parents didn't want to protect their fragile feelings. And the thing is, in order to survive in this society, at least for me growing up, we had to play that game of protect my child's feelings. So no talking about racism, no complaining about the N-word, no complaining. I mean, you can complain about the N-word, but whatever you do, don't make my white child cry. So I've developed this survival technique of protecting their feelings. And at the same time, shrinking myself, not being authentic, in order not to offend someone else. I guess there's no real big great point to this. Is again, I do this a lot. You know, that's what happened on Featured Thoughts. Is I don't really make points, or I don't really bring solutions to problems. I'm just acknowledging. It's just a combination of being authentic. It's okay. Going back to that initial clip that I played, is homegirl made me realize that not everyone I cross path with is meant to stay in my life. It's one thing I learned about Facebook, is there's a lot of people from my past that deserve to stay in my past. I remember on Facebook when I first joined and being like, oh my God, oh shit. You know, because I remembered a lot of names, or I remember I was having fun grabbing my class pictures and going, oh, and remembering names and then looking them up on Facebook. That used to be the fun about Facebook. It's funny, all these people put their real names in there, but I wouldn't. But that used to be the fun of, oh, shit. It was like the same way of Napster's. You're like, oh, yeah, I remember that that song. Let me see if it's on Napster. Boom, that was the fun. And Facebook, that's what made it fun at the beginning. So I was adding all these names from the past. and then a lot of these people made me regret adding them. Or made me think about when I was a child, I used to think that, oh, it'd be great if I could read other people's mind. Facebook made me realize that, nah, fuck that. Some thoughts I... Anyways. I started about religion and I'm realizing I started with religion, Christianity, and now I'm talking about racism. But same thing. Two things that contributed to me shrinking myself. Where was I going with this whole Facebook thing? I forgot. my brain. You know what? I'm remembering that I'm getting hungry. All right, okay. Let me make a final point. I'm learning how to balance being authentic and I guess what I'm saying, the real ones. Now I'm connecting to the video the real ones are the people that I could be authentic with. Now, and I gotta be honest with you, I'm just starting to find people that I can be I'm just finding a person. And it's not a lot of people, but short number of people that I can stay authentic with and they don't take offense to my personality. Part of what I'm doing on this podcast is being authentic. When I start by saying, fuck Whitey 2, this podcast ain't for you, or shit like, this is my goddamn podcast, it's me saying, this is the space where I'm being authentic. And if it offends you, it's meant to. I mean, if it offends you, just walk away. I want to be clear, I don't go out of my way to offend people. There's certain people, okay, I have this one friend who I'm authentic with, and if I did say or do something that she considered offensive, I would think about it. I would be like, whoa, my God. Not the intention. I mean, you know. And if it is, then yeah, let's work this out. Let's, you know, I would do something. I'm thinking about, you know, okay. I'm thinking about how during my early days of comedy, I was fascinated at comedians who would go on stage and would just be offensive. Or would just say some outlandish shit. And they didn't understand what I was trying. And I was going to say they didn't understand. I actually didn't understand my admiration for them. But I realized because I equated their behavior with being authentic. And now I'm realizing, I'm pulling them back but the thing is, these guys aren't being, no, their goal ain't being authentic. It's being offensive. Or maybe, you know. Two different things that I'm realizing, you know, I can understand if you're having difficulty seeing, if you're blurred by it, but I was listening to an episode Black Fat Femme. Hey, why don't you listen to that book, Shift? I already finished it. So I, you know, like a junkie, so I was listening to an episode of Black Fat Femme and a recent episode, and I remember what one thing I appreciate about hearing these two souls is they're like on a quest to being authentic. That's their, I won't say gimmick, but what they inspire listening to them. It's just the reminder, being authentic, being your true self. And those two aren't being offensive. They're being genuinely authentic. They're being their true selves. I love that. I think that's why today's topic, feature thought, is being offensive and authentic. And what I mean by offensive, I mean the people who just aren't meant, who basically you're not their cup of tea. And it's okay. A friend to all is a friend to none. It's basically find a place in the world and take up space. Take up your space. Find a space and take up space. Don't shrink for people who, for the unworthy. Don't shrink, period. Because some folks just aren't worthy of your friendship. They could be your associate. They could be, you know, coworker. They could be people you walk in the same direction to. You know, you have a common goal. But they are not your day ones. You know, it's shit you figure out as you get old, man. As life making sense. Life's making sense. It's just, as you can try to make sense of life and just realize that the mistake I made was thinking that I need to be like Jesus and love everyone. But I think I just misunderstood. I ain't got to fuck with everyone. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a reminder. Not everyone is meant to be in your life. And I would say, like, you know, bye. Yeah, bye. Anyways, all right, okay. This is a long ass episode. No, it's my goddamn podcast. But I'm gonna wrap this up. What time is it? Yeah, 8:00. Yeah, this is kind of I went a little deep for a Wednesday episode, but it is what it is. All right, okay. This concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening. Reminder that website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I sign off, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Would you blur, but they fuck it. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, reckon living as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. See? Being authentic. I mean that shit. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.